Well, what do we have here? It's the news, according to me. Oh, it is. We made it through the weekend, folks. We made it through the weekend to another happy, fun, fulfilling work week. Is that the way it works? So everybody's working for the weekday, something like that. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that's not the way the song goes. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell. I'm not a lawyer or a doctor, so I can't define these things. I have a, well, good morning. It is Monday morning. It is June 5th, 8:06 a.m., fairly early in the morning, actually, for, it seems like it's much later in the day already. I guess when I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, it seemed that it's been 3 hours since I got up. I'm not going to talk about what time the alarm started going off and stuff around the house, but because I get in trouble for that. I'm just saying. Apparently, it takes between 3 and 4 hours for some people to get ready to go to work. That's all I'm saying. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of stuff happening here in the mornings. Got dogs, animals, chores, workouts, prepping. You name it. Organization. Anyway, oh boy. I'm kind of lost my stride here this morning. I've got a few things I want to talk about. One, what's in my cup? I have a vanilla chai with Cinnabon Creamer. I have a lot of Cinnabon Creamer. So for the next few days, that's all it's going to be. So that's just so you know. Just a spoiler alert. What's in my cup is probably going to be vanilla chai with Cinnabon Creamer. What you don't know is what's going to be in my backup cup for sure. Because this is my last bit of homemade sweet tea I have right here. My last gallon that I prepared. This is the last of it. I'm planning to do the same thing again today, make some more sweet tea. So if I do make some sweet tea, my backup cup tomorrow will be sweet tea. But I don't know about that for sure. You have to tune in to find out. I'm not going to give it away now. That's the cliffhanger for you. I know you won't be able to sleep tonight. You never know what my sweet tea might be blended with. I might have something else with my sweet tea. I could put in some kind of juice. I like to put in V8 Fusion, if I have it, but they don't actually make V8 Fusion anymore. They make they call it something else now. It's not Splash. Don't get the Splash. Splash is just sugar. That's all it is. Nothing in there. Just like 10% real juice. I think the other stuff is actually all real juice. It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. It's got all the, don't get me wrong, it's got a lot of sweet, you know, stuff in it too. But it's much better for you than the Splash crap. I think it's called Crap Splash. That's the new name. They ran that through the marketing department. They said that didn't quite fly too well. It didn't pull well. So they decided to call it Splash. Just to shorten the word. They thought about Splash crap, and then they said, well, maybe it should be Crap Splash, and then they said, well, maybe just crap, and then they settled on Splash. I'm pretty sure that's the way the meeting went. I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. It's just all hearsay. But at this point, that's what I'm going with in my head. In my world, that's the way it went down. So there you go. That's the report on that. We have got that out of the way. Check that box off. Check that one off. Check that one off there, Bob. Producer Bob, Jim, Harry, Fred, whoever you guys are. Go there. Unfortunately, my chai is lukewarm, and I'm tempted to spew it out of my mouth just to make a point. I've heated it up twice this morning. So I actually made it about an hour ago, or poured the cup about an hour ago, and I've had to heat it up a couple times because of the delays around the house here. I never know when it's safe to come down here. So the second I come down here, then I start hearing stomping around upstairs, and I know that someone is planning on leaving the house, so I have to arrange for all that arrangement stuff goes on. So I have a couple things I want to talk about. I have not looked into what's going on with the FBI. I've been trying to, the last couple of days have been pretty crazy. Of course, now Sunday weekends, you never know what you're going to get. The Sunday shows, news shows, I find them to be all mostly fluff, and I don't pay much attention to many of them anymore. I used to listen to Chris Wallace on Sunday mornings. Sadly, he has ended his career on a very down note. Made some very bad, poor decisions at the end of his life. In my opinion, most of it was revolved around his hatred for Trump. He was definitely an establishment individual. But the one thing that this has done, this heat that has turned on, is it definitely shows the establishment folks. If it smells like it's got establishment on it, it probably does. And this is where I'm at with Ron DeSantis right now. The things that he's saying, what's his decision to run, in my opinion, is, I believe, being pushed by anti-Trump individuals. I can't see anything else in this. Now, I know that one of the guys who had come on to, he's on television, he had all these ads, he was trying to draft Ron DeSantis. That guy was a total establishment individual, right-wing establishment individual. And he was on, talking about how he's going to try to draft, he was raising funds to draft Ron DeSantis to be president. And he had an advertisement he would put on. This guy's fairly influential in the news world, but he's not a big shot in the news world. So he's coming out with these ads. And of course, now I don't know what he's going to do now that Ron has actually announced that he's running. I don't know if he's probably going to hopefully take that ad down. I don't know, maybe you've seen that ad. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. I have a tendency to watch television just because I'm in the nature of my travels. Television's on various places where I go. And I tend to try to watch, so I don't see that many adverts, they call them in the biz. That's what they call them in the biz. And so I most of what I do is I quickly sift through speedily play YouTube clips of shows, and I pay for premium service so I don't have to watch the advertisements. So I don't get to see the ads very much, but I do occasionally. I do know that on Fox News, they have a lot of MyPillow and what's that? Balance of Nature, whatever it is. I've got a lot of, and Noble Gold. All that kind of stuff is on there. About every other ad. But the rest of the, and of course, MSNBC has all the other junk on there. I happened to watch some MSNBC the other night. And what's just because, so you don't have to. I was watching CNN the other day. Now, one of the things that has been coming up, I think it's Skirmish or whatever it's called, Skirmish, whatever his name is. They are flipping out. They are freaking out over there about this smoking gun. This is the smoking gun. What does this person say? Is this a smoking gun? Let's ask this guy. Oh, yeah, he says it's a smoking gun. Well, it must be the smoking gun then. Something about Trump's phone call, recording of a phone call. What gets me about this kind of stuff, and this is even the deal with Joe Biden. Joe Biden left a voicemail for his son, Hunter. And it wasn't terribly scathing, but it did pretty much, show that he was involved in what was going on with his son, which is just a ridiculous to think that he's not. And nobody steps back to ask the question, where'd this thing come from? Who got a hold of someone's personal voicemail? And who put it out there? Who got a hold of a recording of Trump on the phone? Who has this stuff? And talk about national security. Holy cow. Now, supposedly, Trump was supposedly, what do they call it? When you fool somebody, you're getting tricked. Not tricked. It's not tricked. What is it? It's a chumped, not chumped. I can't think of what the word is now. Supposedly, that's what he did here. This was a fake, like a fake phone call, or said something on a phone call. And you know, everything he says, I heard somebody say yesterday, he could fart in an elevator and they would, you know, put him in prison for an eco-terrorist act or something. This is the point that they're at. Of course, now Joe Biden can't do anything wrong. That it's just nothing to see here. Move along. Which is just, it's so obviously slanted here. And even people who are independent, in my opinion, I think the independents have finally kind of woken up to all this stuff. In terms of what's happening. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Tucker Carlson. I know he's gone. He's kind of gone off the scene. But one of the things that with Elon Musk now, he's actually fired his person in charge of censoring things on Twitter because he found out about the whole thing about what is a woman being censored on Twitter. And he fired the person. I don't know if it was a male or female. I don't know who it was. But he fired the person who was in charge of that. Took him a little while because he's kind of a busy guy. I'm going to fire you, but I'll get around to it next week. I got to launch a couple rockets here. And I happen to be the richest man in the world now. His net worth now is higher than anybody else in the world now, the way I understand it. Which I'm surprised because there were some Saudi oil people who were, I thought that the Saudis had some kings in over there that were like the highest, but apparently that's not happening anymore. Don't get me wrong, they're not hurting. Don't send them any money. We're not going to start a GoFundMe account for them or anything, but they apparently aren't the richest people in the world anymore. Elon Musk has apparently stepped in. And I guess, I think I had heard this before, and he came out with... I've got some suspicions about the process, about what happened to him. He has a son that's just turned 18, apparently, or when he turned 18, and he might be more than older than 19, now he might be 19. When he turned 19, he decided to become a girl, and he decided that he wanted to change his name and not have anything. He will not have anything to do with his father. Now, it's my opinion that since Elon wasn't around very much, probably someone else had a lot of influence in his life, probably through his schooling or whatever it was. And Elon probably realizes that this wackiness, this craziness, you know, so many, I've seen this happen so many times where a parent, and sometimes it tears apart the marriages, but parents will, oh, their son or daughter came out, or they did whatever they're doing, this crazy thing that they're doing. And so they turn around and support them in their lifestyle. Now, this is really, I mean, it's got, I know, I'm sure it's got to rip your heart out. You've got a choice to make here. Do you disconnect from this child and say, you know, I love you. I will always love you. I'm your parent. I would die for you. But I cannot support you in this lifestyle. I cannot agree with this lifestyle you're in, this choice that you've made. I know you feel this way, but I'm not going to say it's right. How do you do that? For some reason, I'm reminded of the way it must have been for Adam and Eve. Eve, according to Scripture, was the one that the serpent spoke to. And she's the one who convinced Adam that they both sinned. But in my opinion, the only way the serpent could get through to Adam was through the woman. Because he loved her. He didn't want to be disconnected from her. I don't know. I don't know what was going through Adam's mind. I wasn't there. I just know that this reminds me of probably the kind of tie that you would have with someone and how difficult it would be to stand your ground in that position. Now, I'm impressed that Elan has not gone along with all of this just to be supportive of his child. I think he's doing the right thing. However, how you do it, how you go about it is very difficult, I'm sure. Maybe. I know there are a lot of faith communities who believe this, that if you basically shun the person or disconnect from them or expel them from the community, that they will eventually, it's the best thing for them, that day they will eventually find out that they're just on a phase, that what they've done is wrong. They're not in right standing with God or his people. And this gets down to this whole thing of acceptance. This has been an issue in the church now recently. There's some churches that there's a really, I'd like to play this clip. I think I'll do this tomorrow. I'm going to put together some clips, hopefully, today that I'll show you this. One guy goes into a church that's a, I can't remember what they call themselves. The lady there who's a pastor is talking to this guy when he first walks in and he wants to visit, and they're telling him all about, their understanding of scripture, there's a lot of different interpretations out there, but the way they see the metaphysical, they preach what Jesus meant, how people interpret what he said. And then they go on to say how they're accepting of all religions and all faiths and all beliefs. And when he starts talking to them about what his beliefs are, and he starts asking questions about, scripture says this and what do you say about it, they end up booting him out physically. Very, very accepting of him. And this is very typical. But we redefine, what happens in the church sometimes, or in some of these groups, these spin-offs, they redefine this more accepting. Well, Jesus just accepts you the way you are. Well, yeah, but you don't stay that way. If you're in the presence of God, you may not even be a, this drug addict who's been, killing and murdering and robbing and doing all kinds of debauchery. You may not be that person. I was a very self-righteous little boy when I was a kid. Grew up in a very self-righteous culture. Now, I don't know what's easier. I don't know which is easier, actually, to do here. But it's because if I backslide, I tend to go back to my self-righteousness. It's hard to see that. It's hard for people to notice. If I were a drinker or something like that, or whatever I was. Not saying drinking is if I was some kind of an obvious sinner of some sort. That, if I went back to that life, it'd be very obvious that I was stepping away from intimate relationship with God. So there's this thing about sometimes it's almost harder sometimes for people who are self-righteous to see their need for the cross. They just see it as another implement in the faith. Well, yeah, I believe in that. So there you go. The reason I believe it is because I'm so righteous, because I deserved it. I'm so righteous that I deserved, for God to die on the cross for me. I earned it. almost is what they're not, they don't come out and say that. Of course, that'd be blasphemy, but that's the way they act. Or by being somehow, by being good enough, I'm going to be somehow add to what he did on the cross. That just doesn't make any sense. It's like spitting in his face while he's on the cross. But these people, this idea that you can just stay that way. Once you're in the presence of God, and this is even for somebody who's self-righteous, when you stand in the presence of God, you realize how holy he is, first of all. How other, how different he is. His holiness, his righteousness, way beyond anything we can ever attain, way beyond anything we can even think of. It just melts like wax any kind of haughtiness that we might have in our heart, or self, righteousness that we might think we have, or the bad things in our life, our selfishness. It just, oh, look at that. Look how ugly I am. In the presence of this, the brilliance of his holiness. So it's just, it amazes me that people will be like this. They'll just, oh, look at us. They've somehow attained some enlightenment. They're the enlightened ones. And yet when they're faced with the truth, they all of a sudden, they become very dark. Their hatred towards Scripture, the Bible, fundamentalism, sometimes it's called. Now, there's a whole definition of what a fundamentalist is, and it's actually, I would have to say I'm not really there. And yet I believe in the fundamental principles of the Scripture. The common term fundamentalist has other connotations, and I'm not going to say that I'm a fundamentalist. However, I believe in the fundamental foundation of Scripture and the faith. And that's different, I think, than what is called a fundamentalist in some way, and so the term that it has, the label that brings. So in the process of all this, I don't know how I got started. I have this, a couple things I want to talk about. This is nothing like where I was going to go, but I dive into this stuff near the end of my show. So maybe I should just stop the show here, because that's what I do at the end. So starting at the end, at the beginning, at the first, whatever. Anyway, too much chai, too much energy, too much pent-up energy. I had quite a weekend. It was crazy, crazy, crazy weekend. I got into Boston Thursday morning, for Friday morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning. I did a show then, a quick live show on Friday morning. So I kind of told that story already. Got done. I went back to, where did I end up on? Where'd I go? It was Friday night. Thursday night I ended up in somewhere. I was somewhere. I don't even remember. I think I was in Boston, that was Thursday night. Then Friday night, ended up going somewhere else. Oh, I know where I was. Where was that place? I don't remember. I really don't remember. It wasn't very far away. Then I ended up in Champaign, Illinois, on Saturday night. Interesting trips. Then I got home yesterday. So got home last night. I spent some time on the boat yesterday just to kind of download, but that didn't work. Went to bed about 9:30 last night. And it wasn't a tough weekend. I didn't rest very much. Didn't get a lot of exercise either, which probably has a lot to do with it. But I don't know where I'm going with all this. I'm just going to dive into this other stuff. Target. apparently is, you know, we talked about the whole Bud Light thing. Bud Light is continuing to lose market share. Just, it's going downhill really fast. What was once one of the highest sellers in the beer market, this country, is now plummeting, and it's losing market share like crazy. And it's not ending. This has been going on for weeks. Normally, this kind of stuff is just a blurb. You know, like people stop doing it for a little while and they forget. This is continuing to go downhill, and I'm pretty sure it's done. Now, Bud Light has come out and said that they've silenced the lady who they suspended her from her position, and now they've silenced her. She's being held up in her $7 million home, or what, $5 million home, whatever it is. Poor lady. And she's got some freaky problems. There was she recorded doing this conversation with somebody. She was being interviewed, and she had a body language interpreter watching her. And oh boy, this lady's got a lot of problems. And this body language person was very good. She has always been very good, extremely good at analyzing this kind of stuff and putting out there what's going on with the person inside. And it was very obvious. This lady is, she's living in constant betrayal. It just, it's really weird, really bizarre stuff going on in her head. Just the way she was acting on this interview. So then, that's been happening. Now at the same time, Target, of course, came out with this line of children's clothing. And it was this is LGBTQ Pride Month or whatever it is, whatever you're going to call it. And that's why they were coming out with this stuff. Now, my question really is, I know it has to do with this ESG or whatever it is, the score that people are trying to get. And they have to have a diversity, equity, and inclusion thing, DEI personnel, whatever they call it, when their companies have to have this effort to be more diverse, to have equality and inclusion. And this, I think, that's part of what's going on here. And my thing is, I don't think it's that people, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. This is where I think it's at. I don't believe for a minute that people hate, the LGBT community, or it has nothing to do with that at all. I think most people, and I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying most people in this country are just like, you know what? Just don't put it in my face. If you want to do what you want to do, do what you want to do. Don't force it on anybody else. Don't shove it in my face and pretend like I have to accept you or I'm a bigot. Then you start calling me names. Now who's the bigot? Now who's the name caller? Now who's the violent one? The hater. So I think most people are in that place. They just don't parade it around. Okay. And that's literally what they do. They literally have parades. Literally. And it's just, don't. We just don't want that. What if we had a white pride parade or a heterosexual parade, pride parade? Well, you always, all your parades are that way. No, that's not what they're about. Elon Musk came out and said that, this whole thing about oppression, LGBTQ community is being, they're being oppressed. It's all over Twitter. He comes out and says, they are not oppressed. He gets it. He sees the fact that it's not about equal rights. It's about special rights. When people start having special rights, other people are dispossessed. They are shoved aside. And when all the other groups start having special rights, and everybody has special rights except for one group, now guess who doesn't have rights? This is the problem with special rights. And you call someone with privilege, and the opposite thing is happening. You're taking away the privilege of the individual by grouping people into group rights. Now, it's complicated. I got charts and graphs and all kinds of diagrams, but you can't see those here. I'm drawing them on here on the board, but you can't see them because it's just an audio. But you can imagine them in your head. So Elon Musk comes out and says that, and there's all this stuff that's happening. Now, here's the question I've got for Target, the question I've got for Bud Light, for any of these companies who are doing this stuff. It's not adding to their bottom line. This is just all virtue signaling. It is all this idea that, oh, look at us, we feel good about ourselves now. You'd be better off saying, we have this entire line of clothing. All the proceeds from this entire line of clothing are going to go towards clean water for people who don't have it. That would go a lot further with the community. People would buy that up like candy. I'd buy stuff I didn't need if you're going to do that. That's where people are mostly concerned. But you've got this weird idea that if you go out there and put neon lights around what you're doing for a certain oppressed community that you see, because see, we're not the oppressors. That somehow that's going to win points with the American people. It just, I don't see what that gets you. People just don't want it shoved in their face. And that's what you're doing. You're shoving this in their face. Look how good we are. And if you don't go along with it, you're not good. You're a bad person. That's what it amounts to. Now, at the same time, you've got people protesting in the streets, doing things like that. And what good do the protests really do? But when somebody goes into an art gallery and glues themselves to a painting or throws soup on a painting, whatever, what are you doing? And what have you, all the time and effort you spent doing that, what has it really done to help anybody, anywhere? Go do something that's worthwhile. Go dig a well in Africa where they don't have any water to drink. I know I'm kind of on that bent, but it's like, do you see what I'm getting at here? You're not affecting anything. Oh, except for your ego and it's just like this altruistic ego thing. Look how good I am. I'm standing for the truth and I'm standing to save humanity. Oh, blah, 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 blah. All the while talking on your cell phone and wearing clothes made out of oil products. I just the hypocrisy goes beyond the pale. It just does. And I'm not sure why. It just continues to happen. Well, I know where it's getting charged up. I know where it's coming from. It's coming from academia. It's getting charged up through the collegiate academia programs that are out there. It just continues to get worse. All the ideology. We are in an ideological war. For those of you who don't know what ideology is, that means that's somebody who has an idea, a construct, this idea of what they think society should be. They can somehow form a semi-utopia. Because that's what communism will be, because capitalism is so evil. Crony capitalism is. The problem with communism is that it can become far more evil than capitalism can. They both can become evil. Evil can creep into anything that humans are involved in. Corruption and bad things can happen regardless of what kind of economic system you have. However, it is so easy when you look at how government is fraught. Centralized government is fraught with corruption and issues and problems. And you want to turn over your health care to to these people. You want to turn over business management to these people. This is why I just don't understand the socialist people who are out there. They're always pointing fingers at the government. And this is the, you know, I can think of one individual. I'm not going to mention his name. He has a show that I didn't used to watch at all because I just thought they were the just total left wingers. Really in the tank. They're Bernie supporters big time. Well, they got mad at Bernie when I saw what was going on with the DNC and then Bernie didn't do anything, didn't push back on it. He just rolled over. They realized he's a fraud. But they still believe in those principles that Bernie was pushing. Now here's the problem. They don't see the big picture here. Problem isn't Bernie. Problem is that those at the top use this stuff to promise this better world and healthcare for all or whatever it is. Everybody's going to have a house. Everybody's going to have a car. But this is what communism promises. And everybody thinks that they're entitled to it, regardless of what you do. The problem is the people who are paying for it are the ones who are out producing, working hard. It's coming from them. They're the ones who are making this happen. And about to go down a couple roads that I know would be very unpopular with regard to working, the type of working classes we have in this country. But we have this idea, these same people who will say, well, we need to have government. We need to have centralized healthcare. We need to have this and we need to have that. And they'll turn right around and point fingers at the very people who they want to give the management to. Talk about their corruption. So you want big government. You want government control of things for the people. And you turn around and you talk about how big government, centralized government, is defrauding the people, how it's corrupt, and how it, what? Well, there would have to be accountability. Good luck with that. What are we seeing with that right now with the FBI and other organizations? They are as obstinate as a 12-year-old. My understanding is Christopher Wray now has decided this week, either Tuesday or Wednesday. I think that the Congress said, if I don't have that document in my hand by Tuesday or Wednesday, how do you do that? I don't. Here we go. I think it was Comer. I think whoever it was. How do you do that? You say Tuesday or when. You don't say Tuesday or Wednesday. You either say Tuesday or you say Wednesday. If I don't have that document in my hand by Wednesday, I'm going to hold you in contempt. You don't say, if I don't have that document in my hand by Tuesday or Wednesday. No, you don't. You say one or the other. If I don't have that document in my hand by, you know, either Tuesday or sometime after Tuesday or sometime next week or by the end of this year or sometime this year or maybe next year, I'm going to hold you in contempt. Oh, scary. I think you need to be a little bit more decisive about, you know, the day. Here, you have till this day. Because actually today, he could bring it over today. It's ridiculous. So we're trusting these people with all this stuff, and I don't get it. I don't get how people can think that, okay, I'm going to abdicate all of my responsibility over to this centralized government now, and they're going to take care of me. I'm going to go out and work, give them all my money, and they're going to make sure my every need is taken care of. I'm not buying it. I heard a story this morning about a road out in California. I think it's Highway 39. There's like 4.5 miles of it that are shut down because it's too dangerous to operate on that road because of the landslides and everything that's going on there. It's been closed for 40 years. A few years back, they allotted, I think it was in 2019 or 2018, they allotted $32 million to fix the road. Or $39 million, whatever it was, tens of millions of dollars to fix this road and get it back up and working again. Because it's like literally a 4-mile stretch that saves people about 2 hours of driving. Well, they were just days away from beginning the process, and the construction companies were going to sign the papers. They were going to get to work on it, move their equipment in. Within, you know, just be fixed. They start fixing it in weeks and open the thing back up again. And the powers that be, the committees, whoever it was, decided to reallocate the funds over to a bridge. Going to fix up this bridge over here. So it still sits there closed. This is the kind of thing that, you know, they made the decision to put the money into this thing, probably raised the funds. Who knows where the funds came from? I'm sure some of it was federal grants. And then just to make a decision at the last minute to, oh, let's just change those funds over here. This is the kind of stuff that makes people mad. And this is why we cannot trust them. Because they will do that kind of stuff. I've seen this happen on local levels, city levels, county levels, state, national, worldwide, you name it. You know, in the universe. Happens all the time. So, I'm going to change gears here really quick. I'm going to go totally different thing here. We're going to talk about the economy real quick. Because I feel like this something I think is worth talking about. There's some interesting things happening in the RV market. Now, I live in a county that is basically I think 85% of all of the RVs in the country, in the world, are made in this county. When I was working in the RV business, I was working on this van conversion company. And I actually, saw, several vans come through that were being built for Saudi princes. We had a four-wheel drive. It was kind of like it's called the Earth Roamer. That's what it's called now. Some of those came through, and we were building those back then. They were custom back then. But they were basically a four-wheel drive truck chassis with this camper. It was like a Class C camper type thing built. And it was very, very expensive. But it was, you know, that's the kind of stuff this was back in the 80s. We're building these. Now, the RV industry, I had this big concern. I still have the big concern because there are a lot of RVs out there right now. During COVID, the year 2020, as soon as things opened back up again, the RV industry took off and people started buying RVs because they knew they couldn't travel. They still wanted to take vacations. They thought, I'll get a camper. We'll just go get a camper. We'll go drive. We'll go out there. It also gives people a sense of security, knowing if they have to bug out, if they have to go somewhere, they can haul out in the camper and have shelter for their family. It has become kind of a zombie apocalypse escape thing for some people. I get that. Because it can be that. And there's a company that actually makes a zombie apocalypse escape camper. It's bulletproof. It has bear spray. You could be sitting inside the thing and push buttons and make bear spray go. But it's also, you can add to the bulletproof stuff. It's quite amazing. So, anyway, I'm getting some text messages that are kind of funny. We have, the RV industry itself. I was concerned that after the glut of sales that were happening, that the used market, you know, especially with the gas prices going up the way they were, I figured people would start selling their motorhomes and their trailers. Well, that has not been happening, not yet. I think that it will eventually. I think typically the average RV owner has their RV for about 7 years. I think it's 7 to 8 years that they typically own an RV. Now, if they actually use it and they get out there and use it, they'll probably start to like it and they'll start to enjoy it. And actually, it's something you can do with your kids. And then once your kids are out of the nest, you can actually, people like to travel that way. Personally, I fly all the time to go places. When I have time off, I don't want to fly because guess what? I have to leave my animals behind. I have to put them in a shelter. I'm away from my animals all the time, from my dogs. I miss my dogs when I'm gone. I don't want to have to put them in a shelter and then leave again. So I have an RV. And I can put my animals, yes, the dogs and the cat. We all travel together. And we go to wherever we're going. And we're all there together. I don't mind it taking a little longer because it's not about being there necessarily, getting to the place we want to go. It's more about being together and experiencing those things together. The road trip itself. I like road trips. So we experience all that stuff together. And I think that's where I'm at with it. Now, I think other people are starting to experience some of those things because the campgrounds are still full. It's still hard to get a campsite anywhere. Now, fortunately, I can take time off during the week so we can still get away in the middle of the week and everybody can go and we can spend a few days someplace or spend a couple days camping and we're not away from anybody. We're all together. And there's typically the campgrounds are not, it's the weekends that you have a hard time getting in. It's the weekdays that are easy to do typically. So it's interesting to see, but the reason I'm bringing all this up is because the economy has tended to be, I would say the RV industry is somewhat of a barometer of what's going on in the nation. Back in the 70s, when the gas prices shot up, the RV industry took a major hit. Now, before that, the RV industry was fairly stable. It was kind of trucking along. There was a lot of different small manufacturers. Now there's only a few. I think 85% of the market is, I believe it's Thor and the other group. Forest River, I think, make up a lot of the market right now. Now there are some other conglomerates, some other companies out there. Holiday Rambler, I believe, is still their own thing. They're a large competitor in the market. And then you've got some others. I'm not sure who owns Jayco and Coachmen and some of those companies. I'm not sure if they're part of the subsidiary. I'm not sure who owns all those people, but. Different brands, but I think they're owned by someone else. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know how that works. There's still some independents out there. So there's some things that are happening like that. And there's always some smaller companies that are starting up. A lot of them start up with the idea of getting a particular niche in the market. And then what they do is they sell that off to a larger company that wants to take on that niche. So they build that company up just with the purpose, with the whole idea of I'm building a brand, I'm building into a niche, getting it built up enough that it's worth something. And then one of these big companies come in and buys it for, $1 million or, a couple million dollars, whatever it is. That's what they're doing. That's what a lot of these smaller companies are doing. I know a company that I used to do some work for, not in the trailer building thing part of it, but I was providing them with, other service to their what they were doing, and they were taking horse trailers, and with the horse trailer in the front of the horse trailer, they were converting it over to a living quarters. So you had your horses in the back, and you would have a place up front to live. That way, when you go to horse shows, or whenever we were traveling with your horses, you could stay in this front end camper in the back end had the horses in it. It was kind of a pretty good idea, and it sold quite a few of them. Sold a lot of them actually. There was a kind of a niche market for that. I believe he sold that company out to someone eventually after he got it kind of built up. Actually, I think he sold it off to some of his employees and they sold it off They still work there. They still manage to run it, but they don't own it anymore. So it's one of those things that the barometer, the canary in the coal mine kind of thing, seems to be part of what the RV industry is. Interestingly enough, right now, the used market is still very solid. In fact, right now, if you trade in your used RV for a new RV, you will get an incredibly high return for that. Much higher than I thought it would be. I thought this whole thing was going to peter out. Now, the RV market, the new market, is 50% of what it was last year. The sales have gone down by 50%. Now, that's not saying that much because sales last year were up about 300 or 400% from what they had been in 2019. So there is definitely a slowback, a slacking in what's being sold, and there's a lot of leftover RVs out there. People placed orders and couldn't receive them for a couple of years, of course, and a lot of people are going to default on those orders. With gas prices doing what they are, the prices right now have not, they spiked last, you know, the, I think it was last year, a year ago at this time, they were like a dollar more than they are now. That has a huge effect on the RV industry. However, not as much as you might think, not as much as it used to be. Mostly because expendable income now seems to be higher than it used to be. Back in the 70s and early 80s, there was not as much expendable income. There was a good quality of life back then, but it wasn't the kind of expendable income we have now. Now, it's at the same time, there's all this COVID money out there that's floating around. And I think that still has a residual effect on what's happening here. So there's some weird things that are still going on in the economy. A lot of influenced by what happened during COVID and the policies that were put in place. It's like these little shock waves of weird things in certain sectors of the market. Even in the fuel and the oil industry, it's still kind of crazy. It's kind of weird. And of course, with everything that Biden came in with all of his policies that really screwed everything up, and continues to say that, oh, this guy's record is just incredible. He has just a fantastic record. Okay, what? Explain it. Please tell me why. Get people out there saying this is the lowest unemployment since in the last 54 years. What are you talking about? Because they changed the way they graph the numbers, just like inflation. Oh, it's core inflation. We're talking about core inflation because they take food and gas out of the inflation rate. The two things that people spend a lot of money on. Probably the most money you spend in a month. The thing that fluctuates the most and has the most effect on your income. They just take those out of the equation. Oh, we're not talking about those because we're just talking about core inflation. What? We don't like those other factors, so we're going to take those out of there. Well, it's one thing to have core inflation. It's another thing to look at actual inflation. How much am I spending every month? Period. Not just core inflation. Because guess what? I still have to pay those bills. It's like those things don't matter. Oh, yeah, food and gas prices. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. What? That still comes out of my paycheck. So I'm not sure exactly how that's... doesn't matter to you, maybe. Now you may, of course, it doesn't matter to the government. They don't manage anything. They just money grows on trees, apparently, for them. Which, actually, there's a joke about that. I'll tell it tomorrow. The whole thing about money growing on trees. It's kind of funny. Folks, this is the first day of many this week. I don't know about Thursday's show. This is the only thing. Again, this week, Thursday and Friday are going to be up in the air. Very unlikely that I'll have a show one of those days. I'm just not sure which one. So I'll probably have a show on Thursday. I don't know what time of day it will be. Could be later in the day, could be early in the day. Don't know. So pray for our nation. God bless. Take care.